There are no signs that a partial government shutdown in the United States will end anytime soon. A funding cutoff for much of the government began Tuesday as a Republican effort to kill or delay the nation's Obamacare law prevented the passing of a routine spending bill. Hundreds of thousands of federal employees deemed non-essential have been told to stay home, and national parks and museums have closed for the time being. The director of the Rome office of the Acton Institute for Religion and Liberty, Kishore Jayapalan, told Charles Collins the shutdown is due to an internal fight in the Republican Party.
The U.S. federal government has furloughed its non-essential employees, which means about 800,000 employees, largely in the Washington, D.C. area, partly for political reasons and infighting within the Republican Party, in my opinion. There's been a big push within the Republican Party to delay or defund President Obama's signature piece of legislation, which is the Affordable Care Act, or otherwise known as Obamacare. And there's been quite a bit of support in the public to do so, but whether this is the right time and this is the right way to achieve that Republican objective is what's being fought out within the Republican Party, I would say. On the other hand, you have President Obama and Democrats who are trying to say that the law has been passed regarding Obamacare and that there can't be any changes to it, even though the president himself has delayed the mandate for employers to provide health care insurance to all their employees. So there's a lot of Washington politicking. I imagine most non-Americans probably think this is a very serious matter. But while he just finished a short three-year term of employment for the U.S. federal government, the last time this happened in 1995, and I can assure you that there's quite a bit of grandstanding and public relations going on as to how much the U.S. public depends on these non-essential employees. It certainly hurts the economy in Washington, and the Washington economy has been growing much faster than any other part of the country because of the growth of the federal government. So if you're a federal government employee in Washington or dependent on them, you might feel a pinch as long as this lasts. I wouldn't expect it to last too long before the Republicans probably have to surrender and decide to move on to the next fight, which would be the debt ceiling limit. And, you know, there is quite a bit of support within the American populace to reduce the size of government and cut government spending, at least in abstract or in general. And that will be the next fight. This one over Obamacare and the health care is really refighting the 2010 and 2012 elections.
You mentioned you lived through the last shutdown that you've and that there's a lot of grandstanding going around. How does this shutdown affect the average American?
It's very hard to say how much it affects the average American because the Postal Service is still working, for example, even though the Postal Service has been reducing its services for decades now while increasing the price of postage. The military is still being funded. People who are being directly affected are those who are called non-essential federal employees, which numbers about 800,000 people. Now, that sounds like a lot of people, but in a country of 300 million, it's not a huge number. As I said, it affects the local Washington economy. I hate to sound so glib or cynical, but it really gives federal employees a few days off to do things that they might not otherwise get a chance to do. A lot of the federal government is made up of administrative staff, of civil servants. And again, for it to affect the country, it would take an extended shutdown. And I think this is one of those trials where the American people get to see how much they actually rely on the federal government. And this is why it very well could affect the debt ceiling debate, because what the Republicans want to do is have a serious debate on the size of government in Washington, on the size of the federal government. Can the United States, as a modern economy in the 21st century, survive on a federal government that's, let's say, one-fourth smaller than it is today? And even though that's not what the Republicans are asking, most of the budget battles that are taking place today have to do with the size of growth. So let's say the Republicans want it to grow at 1%, and the Democrats want the federal government to grow at 2 or 3%. And, again, for a person looking at this objectively from the outside, not through a political lens, a Republican or Democrat lens, it really does look like a very small difference between the parties. But they're quite entrenched. You only have those two major parties in the United States. So within those parties, you have many different factions that are fighting for either more extreme or more moderate measures. But eventually, something will get resolved. And that's what I think makes the U.S. system quite different than, say, the Italian system. With the Italian system, we've had fights going on continually for decades with very little resolution. The American system is starting to look more like the Italian system in that we are just simply delaying all these budget fights over the size of government and the debt ceiling. Every few months, it seems like we're going through this. And it's going to take, I think, some kind of realignment within the American people, some kind of a major shift in terms of what the governing philosophy of the American polity should be. And until that happens, I think we'll be seeing more of the same for some time to come.